the alley and down Buck's Row, singing to herself in a gravelly, gin-cracked voice. Oh, bad luck can't be prevented. Fortune, she smiles or she frowns, is best off that's contented to mix, sir, the ups and the downs. At the corner of Buck's Row and Brady Street, she suddenly stopped. Her vision blurred. A buzzing noise, low and close like the wings of an insect, began in her head. "I've the horrors of drink upon me," she moaned. She held her hands up. They were trembling. She buttoned her coat up around her neck and began to walk faster, desperate for more gin. Her head lowered. She did not see the man standing a few feet ahead of her until she was nearly upon him.
"Blimey," she cried. "Where the hell did you come from?"
The man looked at her.
"Will you?" he asked. "No, Governor, I will not. I'm poorly just now. Good night."
She started to move off, but he grabbed her arm. She turned on him, her free arm raised to strike him, when her eyes fell upon the shilling pinched between his thumb and forefinger.
"Well, that changes things, don't it?" she said.
His shilling plus the fourpence she already had would buy booze and a bed tonight, tomorrow, and the day after, too. As sick as she felt, she couldn't turn it down. Polly and her client walked back the way she'd come in silence, past tumble-down dwellings and tall brick warehouses. The man had a powerful stride, and she found herself trotting to keep pace. Glancing at him, she saw he was expensively dressed. Probably had a nice watch on him. She'd certainly have a go at his pockets when the time was right. He stopped abruptly at the end of Buck's Row, by the entrance to a stable yard.
"Not here," she protested, wrinkling her nose. "By the metalworks, a little ways down."
"This'll do," he said, pushing her against two sheets of corrugated metal, secured by a chain and padlock, that served as the stable's gate. His face shone weirdly bright in the thickening darkness, its pallor broken by eyes that were cold and black. A wave of nausea gripped her as she looked into them.
"Oh, Jesus," she pleaded silently, "don't let me be sick. Not here. Not now, not this close to a whole shilling."
She forced herself to breathe deeply, willing the nausea to subside. As she did, she inhaled his scent. Macassar oil, sweat, and something else. What was it? Tea. Bloody tea, of all things.
"Let's get on with it then," she said.
She lifted her skirts, fixing him with a look of weary expectation. The man's eyes were glittering darkly now, like shiny pools of black oil.
"You filthy bitch," he said. "No dirty talk tonight, pet. I'm in a bit of an hurry. Need some help, do you?"
She reached for him. He slapped her hand away.
"Did you really think you could hide from me? Look here. Are you going to..."
Polly began. She never finished. Without warning, the man grabbed her by the throat and slammed her into the gate.
"Leave off," she cried, flailing at him. "Let me go."
He tightened his grip.
"You left us," he said, his eyes bright with hatred. "Left us for the rats." "Please," she rasped. "Please don't hurt me. I don't know about any rats, I swear it, I..." "Liar."
Polly never saw the knife coming. She had no time to scream as it plunged into her belly, biting and twisting. A soft gasp escaped her as he pulled it out. She stared at the blade, uncomprehending, her eyes wide, her mouth a great round O. Slowly, delicately, she touched her fingers to the wound. They came away crimson. She lifted her eyes to his, her voice rising in a wild, terrified keen, and looked into the face of madness. He raised his knife. It bit.